So we are already within 30 days of the Yom Tov of Pesach, and as the Gemara tells us, one should learn the halachas Shloishim Yom within 30 days of the Chag of the Yom Tov. Many understand this Gemara to say that Rabbanim have the responsibility to teach their kehilas, the masses, the halachas of Pesach, Kodim Pesach. Many point out that today you have Svarim, you have Shiurim, you have podcasts, so maybe there wouldn't be a requirement for each Rav in his shul. So either way, I hope this is a fulfillment of both halachas, learning it, that I'm going to learn it myself by teaching, preparing, and to teach, to put it out there for those that want to learn on their own, as the Shulchan Aruch points out. So now you have the ability to learn on your own, and we can learn the halachas of Pesach. I will focus, Bez Hashem, primarily this year on the kashrus of food items, kashrus of Pesach. If the series is over and we still have some time before Pesach, so Bli Nedar, we'll get into other halachas as well. I would like to put out a few disclaimers. Number one, what I will be presenting here is not necessarily everyone's opinion, and that's fine. Kach hi darko shel Torah, especially in the world of halacha, that not everyone agrees. And there will be certain things that I say that, first of all, I might be wrong, so that's Aleph. But in addition to that, many hashgachos will take a more lenient stance or a more stringent stance, and I'm simply putting out information based on my experience, the several years I worked, you know, full-time, so to say, in kashrus, and many things that are mentioned in halacha and the svarim, and that I've learned from my rabbeim. So feel free to enjoy the information and to ask your own shaila to your rav. I'm simply just putting out topics and my opinion for those that want to rely on that. But as a disclaimer, not everyone agrees to everything I'm going to say. So when a person is choosing to, when they go shopping or they're looking at what they already have in their house, they will go through their items and look, what is kosher Pesach, what is not kosher Pesach. And I will point out that there typically is a benefit for purchasing or using a product that has kosher Pesach versus hearing on a podcast or seeing it in some Pesach guide that this item does not require kosher Pesach. What do I mean? Typically, when you have, let's say, an OU, an OUP, or any other hashgacha of your choice, a good hashgacha, when it says kosher Pesach on the label, it typically means that the hashgacha has invested significant time researching every single ingredient, and many hashgachas require on-site supervision, hashgacha tamidis, even on a simple product, when it is certified as kosher Pesach, when throughout the year, for typical kosher, regular kosher, they would rely on halachic principles like chazaka, raiv, bittel, or the like. Nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to Pesach, for some reason, part of it is the lack of care on the company's part for innocuous ingredients in their mind. Flour or some type of starch is not it's not an allergen for many. It could be oat flour. And when it comes to regular kashrus, where we are concerned for animal products or wine, so there would be a reason to assume it's not in that product. In the world of Pesach, in addition to the halachic chumras that we have, there's also a practicality where the companies are not as accustomed to being concerned for minor ingredients, and therefore kosher Pesach production is done on a very, very high level. There are many that, for certain products, will only eat kosher Pesach items, for example, let's say maple syrup or the like, the entire year, so because they understand the difference in how the hashgacha is being given for Pesach versus the entire year. So I will say that for 9 out of 10 or 99 out of 100 items, when you purchase something that has a kosher Pesach on it, you are benefiting by doing that versus simply relying on the fact, let's say it would be a brown sugar. We'll give examples later on. You are benefiting by purchasing an item that is actually certified as kosher Pesach versus simply relying on some list or listening to it on a podcast. However, we are still giving the series of shiurim. First of all, people have the right to know, and if something is halachically fine, so Rabbanim have the responsibility of telling people, this is kosher, this is not kosher. So that's number one. Additionally, in certain families, they don't have the financial means to be able to afford $20 for a can of coffee, even though the freeze-dried coffee does not require hashgach for Pesach. I'm telling you it's better, but they don't have the means to afford that, or it doesn't work out for their budget. Additionally, there are those that just don't have it available. They live out of town, and they have. Their local supermarket has a few items, but they run out. They run out of Kosher LePesach coconut sugar, or Kosher LePesach maple syrup, or Kosher LePesach honey. You go down the list, there are many items that are just simply not available as Kosher LePesach, and people expect to use it in their recipes for the families for cooking, and it just doesn't exist. So they will ask, do I need Kosher LePesach for these items? And finally, there are those that try to be machmer, so to say, and they will attempt to purchase everything with Kosher LePesach Hashgacha. However, they travel, or they have in-laws, they have family members that bring things in that don't have these Hashgachas on it, or they are in an airport somewhere, their child is extremely thirsty, and they want to know, can I purchase Powerade or Gatorade or orange juice, or is there an issue of chametz? And there are those that have challenges in the dietary world, or in their dietary world, or you have those that have issues when it comes to food, and there are certain brands and products that they know works for them, and they eat it, and they are able to get through the day, so to say, with these foods. And it's not so simple for them to change brands, even though there is a hashgacha, there is a Kosher LePesach product available from Lieber's or the like, but the parent or the adult, they know that they won't be able to eat this on Pesach, so they should learn the halachas and confirm that the item that they use typically is indeed not kosher for Pesach before assuming that they are stuck and they will not have anything to eat for Pesach. On the flip side of things, even when finding a Kosher LePesach hashgacha on a product, keep in mind that especially when it comes from Eretz Yisrael or from a different country, Sephardic countries, that there are things, if you're an Ashkenazi or even if you're a Sephardi, there are things that your minhag is not to eat. So just because it says Kosher LePesach doesn't mean it's Kosher LePesach for you. An example would be kidneys. So for an Ashkenazi, Ashkenazim do not eat kidneys, and some Sephardim also don't eat kidneys. So if something says Kosher LePesach, but it has a Sephardic Hashgacha from Eretz Yisrael or the like, then they would need to just confirm, look at the ingredients, look at the label, just confirm that it's actually Kosher LePesach for you. Additionally, there are those that eat matzah ashira. Matzah ashira means matzah, which was made out of flour. So there is one of the chamishas mina dagon, flour or spelt oats, rye, barley. And instead of making it with water, like typical matzah, they use apple juice or grape juice or eggs. And that is called egg matzah or matzah ashira. So for most of Klai Yisrael, the minhag is not to eat it. I don't know about most of Klai Yisrael, but for many, the minhag is not to eat it during Pesach. Yet it could be technically Kosher LePesach, but the minhag is not to eat it. So when you purchase chocolate-covered matzah, don't assume that would be fine for you, maybe for young children or for those that have eating issues. So this is a food item they would eat. Okay, so ask a shayla. And finally, there are certain important halachic disputes in the world of Kosher LePesach, primarily if something was made through fermentation or the like. An example would be citric acid. Let's say citric acid came from chametz. Rabbi Avadi Yosef, he has a tshuva, I believe, in Yichav Adas, he's mekel, that even if the citric acid came from chametz, it would still be Kosher LePesach based on the halachas of Nishtana, which is not for right now. If you have a Sfarad Hashgacha and they rely on Rabbi Avadi Yosef's psak, and you are an Ashkenazi, you don't eat that. Your place can say, no, we do not rely on it for chametz. The chametz change into kosher. So you have a problem. So don't assume that a Sfardish Hashgacha for Pesach works for you. In general, one should make sure that Hashgachas are good for them, for their community, for their level of observance, especially when it comes to Pesach, when a lot of what we do is based on community minhagim or community standards in psak. Therefore, one should do extra research before assuming something is fine simply because it's available in their local supermarket and the local distributor or the Jewish distributor, the firm distributor, he brought it to us, so it must be good. It would be wise to do some research before consuming it. So just to review, it's typically better to purchase the Kosher LePesach and to choose an item that has Kosher LePesach from a reputable hashgacha. There are times when that's not available or for personal choice. A person wants to use something else, and therefore you will Bez Hashem be giving shiurim on the various food items that would be okay without Hashgacha LePesach. If you do have any questions or a specific topic you would like for me to address, please, you could text me 347-831-0547 or email lemarkowitz@gmail.com.